scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 9 to 13. I invite you to stand as we read God's word. As Jesus passed on from these, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Please be seated.
Well, I want to welcome our online audience. As Fred had mentioned earlier, we do have an online audience on Facebook, on YouTube, and this is our website. For those of us who are visiting today, our website address is MiddletownPortlandSDA.org, and there's another channel that I have called Path of Prophecy where you can find some exclusive content on that channel at YouTube. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we want to thank you for bringing us safely through 2022 thus far. There are just hours left in this year. And for this, we are grateful for how you've provided for us. It's my prayer that as we prepare to enter the new year, that we would get a fresh vision of what you're calling us to do and to be at this time in Earth's history. And so, Father, we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the message is titled The Revelation of Communion. And the scripture reading that Fred had read to us just moments ago talks about a story in the life of Jesus in which he had met Matthew, the tax collector. And after he had met him, he invited Matthew to come and follow him. And then from that point, Matthew had invited Jesus to his house for dinner. Now, dinner invitations are supposed to be a pleasant experience. Would you agree with that? Nobody gets really invited to dinner to be insulted or, you know, anything like that. But dinner invitations are supposed to be a pleasant experience. And it may be because you yourself are the honored guest or there's a family reunion. And so for Jesus, his dinner invitation turned into something far more, however, than what the host had expected. And so what I want to do is just invite you to turn back to your Bibles. I'll have the scripture reading on the screen. That's for our online audience. But go to your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 9, and starting in verse 9, and it reads, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Now, when we think about the life of Jesus, the actions of Jesus do not always fit with the social customs of his day. If you're familiar with your Bibles at all, would that make sense that Jesus was kind of sometimes, we could consider him an outlier, so to speak. He didn't always fit in or comply with the normal social customs of his day. It's not that he was being rude. He was just merely trying to be grounded in God's word. And the Bible speaks of an invitation that Jesus gave to Matthew to follow him as one of his disciples. And there's a book on the life of Christ called Desire of Ages, and it writes this thought about this experience that Matthew had. Among the publicans, a widespread interest was created. Their hearts were drawn towards the divine teacher. In the joy of his new discipleship, Matthew longed to bring his former associates to Jesus. Accordingly, he made a feast at his own house and called together his relatives and friends. Not only were publicans included, but many others who were of doubtful reputation and were proscribed by their more scrupulous neighbors. Now, some of those present, though, were not just the tax collectors and the publicans, but there was also this other group called the Pharisees. And this invitation had caused a reaction amongst this particular group, so much so. Now, the name Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word meaning perish, which is perishum, which means separate ones. The Pharisees tried to live their lives separate from everybody else because they didn't want to become tainted with sin. And the Pharisees came about largely as a response to the sins and the history of Israel after Israel had gone into the Babylonian captivity. The Pharisees were the group of people who didn't want to see God's people repeat that history. The problem was that Israel had been placed in their specific location at the crossroads of these three great continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and they were kind of at the center or the major intersection of the trade route of the world of that day. And what happened was that they were sent by God or called by God to be a light to all those nations in that area to reveal the good news of God. But more often than not, they fell short of that objective. In fact, what ended up happening was they became more like their neighbors, and they became engaged in idolatrous behavior and all kinds of illicit relationships with the other nations, and they just really fell far down from the ideal and the standard that God had called them up to. Well, God ultimately punished them by putting them into the Babylonian captivity. And when they came out of that, that's when the Pharisees started to emerge, that whole mindset, that paradigm of let's avoid our previous mistakes as a people. And so they became very scrupulous for the law of God, so much so that they set up traditions around the law of God to protect it, so much so that the traditions eventually became more important than the law of God itself. Now, what happened is that if we were to step back and just look at that, they had good intentions. There's no doubt about it. They wanted to protect God's word, and they wanted to protect God's people. But ultimately, they fell short by looking to their own righteousness rather than the righteousness that God was willing to provide for them. But the name Pharisee means separate ones. And so they had this belief that if you stayed away from sinners, you would remain sin-free and you would not be tainted by sin. And so here at this dinner party, they began to question Jesus. And what ends up happening is that there are a lot of people who want to follow Jesus, but too often religious people get in the way of preventing people from seeing Jesus. Does that make sense? I really, as I go through life and in the 28 years of pastoral ministry, I meet a lot of people who really like Jesus. It's the religious people who often get in the way of helping people to find Jesus. Let me explain this. There are approximately 21 different religions in the world today. 21 different religions in the world today. And they can range from Rastafarians, who number about 600,000, to the Muslim people, numbering about 1.3 billion people. The largest religious group by far is Christians, and Christians number about 2.1 billion people. Now, that is still just, it's a large fraction, but it's still a small part of the overall world population. The world population, I believe it was this past summer or fall, they believe hit around 8 billion. We're at about 8 billion right now. Okay? So Christians would number just 1/4 of that world population. But here's something interesting, is that the Bible speaks of a time where the population of the earth will be religious. Okay? For example, if we go to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, I'll read these passages. It says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." Verse 2, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." Now, if you read further in Revelation, particularly Revelation chapter 13, the word worship occurs quite frequently. I believe it's 5 times throughout that chapter, which tells us that at the end, right before Jesus returns, the world will be, quote, very religious. Religion will be very popular. But here's the problem with religion, is that within the parameters of this end time religious awakening, the majority of the people will be on the wrong side of religion. Instead of a religion that follows God, it's going to be a religion that opposes God and that stands in the way of God. Which brings us to this point. It was Jesus' intention to clarify for the people of his time what God is like. In other words, Jesus didn't want to get in the way of people finding God. He wanted people to find God. And that's what our job should be as well, to help people to find God. So that was Jesus' intention. In fact, we see this in John chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. And here's the question: what better way to show someone what you're like than to visit with them in person? Does that make sense? If you really want people to know who you are, it stands to reason to talk to people rather than hiding up in a tree or something like that. So the idea, not that any of us would hide up in a tree, but the idea is that if we want people to know what we're like, we go out and meet them. And so, take for example this from the story of in the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, verse 7 and following. And these are some of the parting words that Jesus had to his disciples before he was crucified. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say show us the Father. So these were some of Jesus' parting words to his disciples. This was spoken at the Last Supper, before he was crucified, which brings us back to the question posed by the Pharisees. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Well, here's what Jesus responded to that question. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." His answer, his answer is intended to lead to self-reflection. It was the Pharisees who asked the question, "Why are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? You're going to become tainted if you do this." And Jesus, of course, said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." It was intended to be a seed that would be planted in the heart of the Pharisees to get them to examine themselves. Am I well or am I sick? If I'm well, I don't need a physician. But if I'm sick, then maybe I need Jesus too. But Jesus didn't stop there, because what he did was he quoted from Hosea, a book in the Old Testament portraying God as the husband who is looking for his wayward wife. He said, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." I have it underlined, "I desire in mercy not sacrifice, because that's the quote from Hosea. But it's only part of the verse. Now, the Pharisees were well known to have memorized Scripture. So by leaving that part out, it's implying that they should know what the other part of the verse is. What is the other part of the verse? Well, here's what Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says. "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." The irony is that it was the Pharisees' lack of knowledge of God that led the Pharisees to ask the question in the first place, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" We ask questions because we lack knowledge. We ask questions with the hope of gaining knowledge. It was very evident that the Pharisees did not know what God was really like. Jesus concluded by saying, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." And he said, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the justification that Jesus gave for eating with tax collectors and sinners. For someone to repent, someone else has to call them to repentance. Nobody can repent unless somebody calls them to repent. So the idea that the Pharisees would love to call these publicans and tax collectors and sinners to repentance, but they weren't willing to do it because they didn't know what God was like and how God would actually do that. But it was Jesus himself who went and ate with tax collectors and sinners. For what purpose? To show them what God is like, so that he could then call them to repentance. God is counting on the church to give an accurate picture of God that is attractive to sinners, while simultaneously being the community of believers that allows sinners to be healed from their sinful condition. This is the work of God that we've been commissioned to do in these last days of Earth's history. And it's my prayer that on this last day of the year, which ironically happens to be the Sabbath, so we are gathered here, that we would be able to rededicate ourselves of all things by having the Lord's Supper, a meal together. And hopefully that by the next time we meet, we'll have others who will join with us, because they will have seen what God is like through our effort and through our influence. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the Word of God. And Jesus himself is the Word of God. And we are encouraged that he came to eat with sinners and tax collectors and publicans. It's my prayer that we would be willing to go where Jesus sends us to reach the lost in this new year that lies ahead. There are people who are hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. And I pray that you would bless as we conclude this year, as we separate now to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so we thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.